Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. That was much better than the last service. Good morning. It is a beautiful, little chilly day this morning. A great day to be in the house of the Lord where it's warm and we worship the Lord together. Would you stand with us as we sing, "Your love has captured me. Be glorified." Your love has captured me.
Your love has captured me. Your grace has set me free. Your light, the air I breathe. Be glorified in me.
Sing it again.
Your love has captured me. Your grace has set me free. Your light, be glorified in me.
You set my feet to dancing.
You set my feet to dancing. You set my heart on fire. The presence of a thousand kings. You were my one desire. I stand before you now with trembling hands lifted high. Be glorified. Your love has captured me. Your grace has set me free. Your love, the air I breathe. Be glorified in me.
You set my keyboard.
You set my feet dancing. You set my heart on fire. The presence of a thousand kings. You are my one desire. I stand before you now with trembling hands lifted high. You set my feet dancing. You set my heart on fire. The presence of a thousand kings. You are my one desire. I stand before you now with trembling hands lifted high. Be glorified in me. Be glorified in me. Be glorified in me. Be glorified. Be glorified in me. Be glorified in me. Be glorified.
One more time.
Be glorified in me. You set my feet dancing. You set my heart on fire. The presence of a thousand kings. You are my one desire. I stand before you now with trembling hands lifted high.
Be glorified.
Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified.
One more time.
Be glorified.
We worship you. I see your majesty.
In the stars I see your majesty displayed. In the heavens all your wonders are proclaimed.
I see your faith.
I see your faith in all of the earth. And I seek to know the ways of your heart.
Through the sea.
Through the seas and open skies, I hear your praise. As the shout of all creation lifts your name, I hear your praise in all of the earth, and I seek to know the ways of your heart. So open my eyes. And the power. seek to know the ways of your heart. So open my eyes, oh God, open my heart to see all the wonders and the power of your name.
By your grace
I'll live, by your grace I'll see, for my life and my salvation. Seek to know the ways of your heart.
Sing it again. I know
your love is all that I need, and I seek to know the ways of your heart. So open my eyes, oh God, open my heart.
Everlasting, sing at this point.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty,
through your Holy Spirit,
conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ our Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, when He will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Our judge, our defender.
Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in.
Descended into darkness.
Descended into
you rose, Lord.
You rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ our Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Virgin Birth. I
Give me eyes to see, Lord. Give me eyes to see more of who you are. May what I behold still my anxious heart. Take what I have known and break it all apart. You, my God, are great. And no sky contains, no doubt restrains all you are, the greatness of our God. I spend my life to know, and I'm far from close to all you are, the greatness of our God. Give me grace this morning. Give me grace to see beyond this moment here. To believe that there is nothing left to me. You alone are high above it all. That you, my God, are greater still. No sky contains, and no sky contains, no doubt restrains all you are, the greatness of our God. I spend my separate us.
And there is nothing that could ever separate us. There is nothing that could ever separate us from your love. No life, no death. Of this I am convinced that you, my God, are greater still. Can say, more songs can bear all you are, the greatness of our God. I spend my life. the greatness of our God. Oh, you are Lord. Oh, you are the greatness of our God.
You may be seated. Let's take this time this morning before we hear the word, and let's lift to the Lord what has been heavy on our hearts. Maybe you know someone here that could use prayer this morning. Maybe you have a neighbor or a family friend. Let's use this time to lift those things to the Lord. Father God, we thank you for another beautiful Sunday morning where we can all come together and gather in your name. Lord, our hearts are together here full of thankfulness as we spend some time with family this week. But Lord, we know that Christmas and the holidays, Lord, that they come with, for some people, a heaviness as they think about the loved ones who aren't there anymore. But I ask that you just put your peace in those people's hearts. Lord, would you be with those who are, maybe there's those who are struggling this month, especially with Christmas around the corner, just wondering how they're going to be able to bless their children with gifts. Lord, would you be with them? Lord, be with those who are struggling with anxiety, fear. Lord, we lay all these things at your feet, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you walk with us through these things, and then that is your promise. And we thank you, Lord, that these are things that you have said that you will allow to unfold in our lives. And we trust and we believe that you are with us. And they build our perseverance and they build our faith in you. We thank you for all these things, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Good morning. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here, for those who don't know, if you're here for the first time. Our prayer chapel is open this morning. If you would like some prayer or counsel, you will find me back there, and I would gladly sit with you for a few moments just to pray. But right now, if you would you turn to our screens for the children's message?
Hey, good morning, boys and girls, and welcome back, Shepherd of the Hills. Last week, I was at Chili's, and I had some baby back ribs. I'm still a little hungry, though, so I decided to go to my favorite restaurant, Chipotle. I've been going here for years. I didn't even wait past John to teleport me. I got in my car, and I drove. Well, here I am at Chipotle, and I want to talk about Jesus. Now, you guys have sent me something in my mystery box, and if you ever want to send me something in, all you have to do is bring it into my office and put it in this box, and Pastor John will check the box, and he'll send it to me. So, I have something inside. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to turn to a message about Jesus. So, let's see what's inside, and I'm going to do that today. Oh, man. This says inventions. Dun-da-da-da. Looking at it here. Okay. I don't know which kid put this in there. Is there a name on it? Let me check. There's no name on it, but, oh man, that looks cool. Can you guys see? I don't know if you can see this very well, but this has electrical wire, some copper wiring. It's got a fan. It looks like, boys and girls, this is something that has a battery attached to it, and you can make different things with it. That's pretty cool. I never had this growing up, but I'm looking at this right here, and I'm thinking about the natural laws of the universe. So I look at this here, and you have a battery, and you have a circuit that gets completed, and the light turns on, and that always works because that's how God created it to work. In the same way that God placed our earth right where it is, rotating around the sun, in the exact same way that God set the speed of light, in the same way that God has done all of these natural laws that he has created, he did those with his spoken word. Have you ever considered how amazing God actually is? That just by his word, he was able to create all of these natural laws to put everything in a particular spot so that you and I can live here on this earth. It's amazing to think that God created this earth for us, that he wants us to live here. He wants us to love him and to love others. That's God's call for the believer, is to love him and love others. And boys and girls, I want you to remember how amazing God is, and that you serve a God who created you, who created this whole world, who set all the laws into motion, and has given you a place to live that is good for you. And with that in mind, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these kids. Thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be inventive, to allowing us to use our creativity. Thank you, God, for being so intelligent, far beyond what we can even understand, that you're able to create everything that we see with just your spoken word. I ask, Lord, that these kids would have wisdom, that they would know how to apply knowledge, Father, that they can serve you by loving you and loving others. Bless us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to go inside and get a burrito bowl. You guys take care. Have a good week. God bless. Well, good morning, and welcome to Shepherd of the Hills. It is great to be here with you for this worship service today. If you are new or visiting with us, I want to say welcome to you. We actually have a gift for you at our welcome desk. Inside the gift, there is a water bottle as well as a ticket to the State Theater and some information about our church. The reality is we're happy to have you here. We want you to know more about the church and more about how you can get involved if that's what you're looking for. If you are a regular attender, welcome back. It's great to have you. And if you are here this morning and you would like to give an offering of some kind, there are the Agape boxes that are located at all the doors. We do appreciate anything that is given here, all that goes to support the ministry of the church and to share the message of Christ in our community. There are a number of events that are going on that we want to make sure that you are aware of, things that we want to make sure you know about. First off, coming up this weekend, there are two things happening here at the church on Saturday. The first one, we are making the pre-made cookie and soup mixes for the school. They are doing a fundraiser. If you want to help out and help make those, it is a very simple task. All you have to do is be able to do this, make sure it's the right amount, and put it in the jar and pass the jar along. That is what we need people to do. Assembly line style work. If you're able to do that kind of work, we would greatly appreciate it. We're starting at 9 o'clock. Hopefully it takes about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and we're done. If you are interested also in coming on Saturday at 10 o'clock. If you look at the church right now, it's not really decorated for Christmas. We are doing decorating. We're decking the fellowship halls, so to speak. Christmas decorating from 10 to noon. Now, me personally, I don't decorate. I don't like decorating. If I could say it, I think it's dumb. Don't tell anybody I said that, but I'm not a huge decoration person. My house doesn't have any decorations. So if I'm the only person here on Saturday to decorate, the church will look like this again on Sunday. But if you come out and you have a skill or a talent or desire to help decorate the church, we have trees that we're going to put up, we have lights to put up, we have decorations to put up. Please come out, help set things up from 10 to noon on Saturday. So there are a number of other things that are going on here at the church. I would encourage you to look at your bulletin. The digital bulletin is also available. We will be sending out a newsletter this week for the first time. I would encourage you to check that out. Sign up for that at the kiosk. We want to make sure you know what's going on, but we hope you can meet us halfway. If you don't know something, or if you're like, hey, what's going on? If you're not sure, send us an email. Give us a call. We will happily let you know the information, but we don't know what you don't know. So that's all that's going on here at the church right now. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open up to Psalm chapter 1. If you're reading it, it's Psalms, but it said Psalms. Psalms chapter 1, that's where we're going to be today. Now, today is the first day of the Advent season. Now, Pastor Colin has already planned out his messages for the Advent season. He has 4 messages planned for the 8th, for the 15th, the 22nd, and then Christmas Eve. So he asked me not to preach on Advent, not to preach on anything to do with Christ's birth, which is okay. He also said that we just finished off a series on Thanksgiving in the last few weeks. So he said, maybe not a Thanksgiving message either. And I went, okay, so I can't preach on Thanksgiving. I can't preach on Christmas. That gives me anything else I want to preach on. And I was like, all right, okay, lots of options. I like options. And I've been struggling with figuring out what I wanted to preach on. Now, in all honesty right now, I have had a rough last 6 months. It has not been an easy time. We had, with our youth group, we had two of our youth who had parents that passed away this year. One of them was a close friend of my wife. She was 34 years old and died of a heart attack. It was very sudden, very unexpected, a difficult service. We had another one of our youth whose mother passed away back in August. My wife's aunt also passed away. And then just a couple weeks ago, a very close personal family friend of ours, she too had a heart attack at home. It was tragic. Had a heart attack in the bathroom. They couldn't get the door open. So she passed away. They couldn't resuscitate her.
And it's just been a time of loss, a time of grief, and I've been struggling with that and trying to think about what it is I wanted to preach on. And I wanted to have an edifying message, a message for those who are struggling right now, who are going through difficult times. This is a message for you. This is a message about blessing and what it means to live a blessed life in the Lord. So we're going to be in Psalm chapter 1 today, and I would encourage you to read with me. I'm going to read through the entire passage of Psalm chapter 1. It says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Now, as we begin here, this is the first psalm in the book of Psalms. There are 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. And Psalms is poetic literature. So they use different poetic licenses when they're writing it. Things like alliteration, metaphor, simile, personification. These are all things that you see in the Psalms. Now, this psalm is actually set up in a specific type of style. It's called a chiasm. C-H-I-A-S-M. And I tell you this because it actually helps you better understand the passage. So it starts off in verses 1 and 2. And we're going to be looking at here how a righteous person should not live and how they should live. And then in verses 3 and 4, we're going to look at the results. So, okay, they're going to be compared with a tree. And a righteous person bears fruit, and an unrighteous person does not bear fruit. They're like the chaff that one blows away. And then back to verses 5 and 6, it has a result. So as a result of hearing these things, what is the end for those who are righteous? What is the end for those who are wicked? So that's the structure we're going to be looking at here today. And there's also going to be parallelism that is seen. If you look at the very first word of Psalms, chapter 1, the very first word is blessed or blessed. That's the very first word that we read. The very last word you read in Psalm chapter 1 is perished. So we have this understanding here that we're trying to figure out what it means to have a blessed life in the Lord. And then at the very end, we're going to recognize what happens to those who fail to have a blessed life in God. Now, as for the author of this book, we don't know who wrote the book of Psalm chapter 1. It is typically ascribed to David, but the reality is his name is not on it. You look at the original text, there are no, "this is written by David" on there. We can't figure it out based on the language that is used. We can't figure it out based on any of the names. There are no names. There are no locations that are given. We can't date this passage. We can't date this passage at all. We don't know who wrote it or when it was written. But the reality is, this is still a timeless piece of poetic literature. It shares what it means to live a blessed life in God. So once again, Psalm 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." Blessed is the man. What does it mean to have a blessed life? What does that actually look like, to be blessed? There was a thing going on a little while back called hashtag blessed, and it was the idea that you could look at the good things in your life and they were a blessing to you. There are a number of physical blessings that we do receive, and I want to be very clear here. We're not talking about physical blessings. When this person says that this man is a blessed person, it is not because of their physical blessings, not because of their good health, their money, their security, their food. None of that is what is being talked about with a man who lives a blessed life. The Hebrew word here is ashir, and is best understood as happiness, enjoyment, satisfaction. It's actually derived from a verb which means to go, to be straight, to advance, to be blessed. A blessed person here does not meander from thing to thing, does not walk aimlessly, but is on a straight route, on a direct path that does not wander. Now, in ancient Israelite culture, the concept here of blessedness is deeply connected with one's relationship to the Lord. So when they're talking about here a person who is blessed, they're talking about a person who is deeply, personally connected to God. If you want to have a blessed life, you must have a relationship with God. We're going to talk more about what it looks like in verse 2. But as we continue in verse 1 here, I want to point out, it says the commands to not walk, to not stand, to not sit. This can also be translated as a person who has never walked in the counsel of the ungodly. who has never stood in the way of sinners, who has never sat in the seat of the scornful. Now, looking back on history here, you and I can look at that passage and think of, okay, who is the person who has never walked in the counsel of the wicked, who has never stood in the way of sinners, who has never sat in the seat of scoffers? Only one person fits that description, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're talking with a Jew, someone who's of Jewish descent who reads Hebrew and reads that passage, it can be read as the person who has never done these things. And when they ask the question, who has never done these things, our answer is Christ. When you want to see what a blessed life looked like, look at the life of Jesus. Because his life was the only one that was truly blessed. He was the only one who was 100% dedicated to the Lord. So with that in mind here, we look at, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Now there are three postures we're looking at here. There's the posture of walking. If you look at the stage right now, I am currently walking. You can tell that I am walking because I'm moving. There's a posture of standing. You can tell I'm standing right now because I'm not moving. I'm firmly planted in what I'm doing. And the last posture that is listed here is a posture of sitting. This is the place I will sit. This is the place I will dwell. This is the place where I am. So we have here these three different postures. And the first posture here is the posture of walking. It says, walk not in the counsel of the wicked. This idea of walking not in the counsel of the wicked is the idea that those who are around you, those who are having influence in your life, the ones who influence the way that you think, to not dwell upon their counsel, to not listen to their counsel and allow them to impact the way that you think. Now, I want to be very clear as well. You should have friends who are not Christians. There should be people in your life who are not believers. That is a good thing to have. You look at the life of Jesus, and it says this about Jesus in Matthew 11:19, that the Son of Man, he came eating and drinking. And they say, look at him. He is a glutton and a drunkard. He is a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom here is justified by her deeds. When you look at the man who has never sinned, the one who lived the blessed life, he had people in his life who were sinners. He was surrounded by them. But when you look at his life, they were not the people who were his closest friends. They weren't the ones who were speaking truth into his life. If you are a person who is a believer here this morning and you want to live a life of blessing, we need to be careful here who we allow to speak truth into our lives. We do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. We do not allow them, as they are interacting with us, as we go about life, as we are walking through life, we do not allow what they say to change the way that we think about our Lord. And then it goes on here, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners. So we've gone here from walking, going about our lives, having them impact our lives, to now standing still. And this idea of standing involves action. You are taking a stand for something. So blessed is the man who stands not in the way of sinners. If you want to live a blessed life, a life dedicated to the Lord with a relationship with him, your life cannot look like the life of an unbeliever. James talked about this in James 2:26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. It's the same concept, the same idea, that if you are a believer in Christ, your actions should show that. A person who is blessed will not have the same actions as those who do not know who the Lord is. They will not have the same actions as those who are not following after God. And then it says here also, nor sits in the seat of scoffer. Now a scoffer is one who mocks, who scorns, who looks down on others for who they are and what they do. To sit with a scoffer means to find belonging in their midst. The word here for sit could also be the word translated for dwell. And it's this idea that you find your purpose, you find your meaning with unbelievers. They're saying here, if you want to be someone who is blessed, following after God, you cannot find your place of purpose and belonging with other believers. Should you choose to do that, you are not living a life that is blessed. You are living a life of wickedness and sin. So we have here these three postures, and we learn from this that a man who is blessed does not follow the counsel of those who do not know God, nor do his actions imitate those of someone who does not know God. Likewise, he does not find belonging and acceptance in their midst. Instead, here in verse 2, we see what a blessed life looks like. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates both day and night." His delight is in the law of the Lord. What does the word delight mean? We typically use the word delight to mean enjoy, to take pleasure or satisfaction in. And I want to encourage you, there are a number of things in life that you should take enjoyment from. For example, from my personal experience, my wife and I take delight. She and I will sit down together, usually on Saturday mornings, and we'll each have a cup of coffee, and we sit in the same seats, and we kick our kids out of the room, and there's peace. We can sit and have a conversation about what's happening in our lives. We're very intentional. I take delight and joy from learning about what she's going through and sharing what I'm going through. That is a good thing to take delight in. I take delight on going for walks with my kids. I have two children who love to walk, and a third one who is too young to do it, who is too young to stop us. My youngest kid, Wesley, is not much of a walker. He is more of the one where we're all walking, we have my dog, they're all running ahead, except for Wesley, who is back there dragging a stick, begrudgingly walking. Even though he's upset right there, he doesn't love the walks, I still take delight in those walks. I take enjoyment, satisfaction from being with my family. I take satisfaction in reading. I enjoy watching shows. There is nothing wrong with taking enjoyment in life. But the word here, delight, means more than just pleasure. It does mean pleasure, but it also means a desire or a purpose. So it can be translated, his delight or his desire or his purpose is in the law of the Lord. So one who was blessed of God finds their meaning, finds their purpose from the word of the Lord. The challenge here is to seek meaning and purpose by reading through Scripture, by understanding God's character, and by allowing that character to change who you are as a person. We're told here that on his law, he meditates day and night. And what this literally means is who meditates as the sun goes up to goes down to goes back up again, who meditates constantly on the word of the Lord, that person lives a blessed life. Now, on his law, it says he meditates. When I say the word meditate, all right, most people think of meditation and they think of this posture here.
Please don't disrupt me, I'm meditating.
That's what people think of when they think of meditation. Just so we're clear here, that is not the biblical understanding of meditation. The world sees meditation as this. The Cleveland Clinic defines it as a practice that involves focusing or clearing the mind using a combination of mental and physical techniques. Worldly meditation seeks to eliminate the self, to remove the mind so that your mind is clear to receive new inputs or new information. That's not the idea of biblical meditation. Biblical meditation, it says here, is this. It's the idea of a persistent focus upon the word of God, continually reading and dwelling. It conveys the idea of a thoughtful, reflective consideration. It's often accompanied by a low sound or a murmur, as if you were speaking to yourself. The idea of meditation is, I'm thinking about the words of the Lord, I'm repeating the words of the Lord, I'm allowing them to impact my life. I'm thinking about the words of the Lord, I'm repeating the words of the Lord, I'm allowing them to impact my life. I'm thinking about the words of the Lord. You see what I'm doing there? That's the idea of meditation. Is you say it again and again and again, and you allow it to become a part of who you are. The man who is blessed, the one who follows after the Lord, does these things. He takes time to meditate upon the word of God. So we understand here, a man who is blessed does not follow the counsel of those who do not know God, nor do his actions mimic those of an unbeliever. He does not find belonging or acceptance in their midst. Instead, he is a person who diligently reads and meditates on, ponders the word of the Lord and how it impacts their life. Now we're going to see here a simile, a comparison here between the blessed and the wicked and that of a tree. We pick up in Psalm chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says that he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yielded fruit in season, its leaf does not wither. Take note first here that this tree is being planted. The word for planted could also mean transplanted. And it's just the idea that one who is blessed of God has been put into a specific spot that is just for them. If you are a believer in Christ here this morning, the Lord has placed you exactly where he wants you to be. He has transplanted you and placed you in such a way that he knows that you can thrive and grow. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. What does this mean practically for a person? What does it look like to be planted by a stream of water? And I'll be honest, I meditated on this passage for a while, trying to figure out the practicality of it. What does that practically look like for you and for me? You are not a tree. Once again, they're using simile here. They're using like or as. You are being compared to a tree. So we recognize here that just by going out and standing on the side of a bank next to the water is not what God's calling us to do. What is he calling us to do then? As I pondered this, I thought of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Speaking of the early Christians, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers." Now, we've already established here the idea that the apostles' teachings, the meditating on God's word, is extremely important for that of a believer. I add to it, though, this idea of fellowship and how important fellowship is in the life of a Christian. This concept, this idea of fellowship, if you've ever seen the movie The Lord of the Rings, the very first one, after The Hobbit, the first one in the Silmarillion, the very first one we have here is the Fellowship of the Ring. If you've read that book or seen that movie, I love it as an allegory for Christian life. Because in the movie, all right, they are the Fellowship of the Ring. They have come together for this one purpose. They're taking that one ring, taking it to Mordor in order to have it destroyed. That is their sole focus. That is their commonality. That is their goal. They are a fellowship devoted to that one task. But if you've watched that movie before, spoiler alert, they don't succeed. One of their own company tries to steal the ring, he breaks the fellowship, and the group disbands. They have lost fellowship. Now, for Christians, for you and for me, we understand the importance of fellowship. Our fellowship is focused on one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. We come here from different backgrounds, different ethnicities. We've come here from different states, different ages. There are more things that are different about us than are the same. But the important thing is the same. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I have decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That is what our fellowship is about here at Shepherd of the Hills. That is our focus. That is our desire, is to be about Christ and him crucified. So if you want to be someone who is blessed by the Lord, we understand we must be associated with or involved in the apostles' teaching, meditating on God's word. We have a fellowship focused on the Lord and Christ's crucifixion. It says here as well, the breaking of bread, this idea of breaking of bread means to live life together. And I've said it before, and I will say it again. I don't believe you can be a Christian and not be a part of a church, not be a part of the body of Christ. I don't think it's biblical. I can't think of any examples in the Bible where you have a believer who is completely isolated by themselves and where they're alone and serving the Lord. Again and again and again, the idea is that you are placed together as a body of believers, each with a different task, different skills, different abilities, and you are called to one purpose. This idea here of breaking bread together is the idea of living life, dwelling with one another. I want to encourage you, if you want to be one who is blessed of God, who is like a tree planted by a stream of water, you need to be planted with other believers, growing together with them. And then it says here as well that they devote themselves to prayer. I've spent I don't know how many hours trying to understand this concept of prayer, the purpose of prayer. What is prayer? Why do we pray? How do we pray? And to summarize my thoughts on this matter and what the Lord has shown me about the purpose of prayer is submission to God. That's the reason why we pray. The Lord already knows who we are. He knows what's going on in our lives. He doesn't need us to tell him these things. But his desire is that we share our hearts with him so that our hearts can be changed to be more like his. That is how we pray. Every time we pray, we are submitting to the Lord saying, God, this is the situation that I'm going through. This person is sick. This person is hurt. This is my need. Father, I trust that you are leading me, guiding me, providing for me, and whatever you have for my life, that is good. The one who is blessed does these things. They read from the Word of God. They are in fellowship with one another. They are breaking bread together, and they're spending time in prayer. Now, it talks here about a tree, and I don't know much about trees. They have bark, they have leaves. Something about chlorophyll, I don't know how it works. But trees outside, you look outside, the trees right now, every tree outside right now, to me, it looks like it's dead. Now, winter used to be my favorite season. I used to love the winter. I'd go outside, shorts and a short-sleeve shirt, jumping in the snow, snowball fights, building igloos, going sledding. You name it, we did it. It was a lot of fun as a kid with snow. As an adult, not so much. It's a lot more of shoveling snow and moving snow, and now I got to drive in the snow, and it's not as much fun. But this idea here of looking out in the wintertime, we can look out, and I can't tell you if those trees are healthy. I can't tell you if they're alive or if they're dead. My favorite season right now, though, I love the season of spring. To be more specific with it, I love spring in that first week where the leaves begin to bud. And over those first few days, all the leaves become green and the grass becomes greener and everything just looks green and pretty and beautiful. In that time, you can see the trees that are planted by water, the ones that are flourishing, that are thriving. In the same way, you can see the trees that are sick, that aren't doing well. So we're compared here with these trees and this idea here that if you want to be one who is blessed by God, you need to have fruit bearing in your life. There should be something that people can look at and say, oh, that person has a faith in God, and I see that through their actions. It says here, in all that they do, he prospers. The idea of prosperity, once again, I want to be very clear, prosperity does not equate to physical blessings. The prosperity of a believer is found in their connection, in their relationship, and with their obedience to God. Some examples from the Bible. Noah, he built an ark, and because of his faith was spared from a flood. Abraham, he heard the word of the Lord to go to the land that God would show him. And as a result of that, he was blessed by God with a son and with cattle and wealth. Moses obeyed God and through obeying the Lord was able to deliver his people from slavery in Egypt. Jeremiah in Jeremiah 32 declared the word of the Lord to repent and turn back to God. And for his trouble, he was thrown in prison and watched his nation burn. Stephen preached to unbelieving Jews in Acts chapter 7, and for his efforts was stoned to death. Jesus prayed if there were any way for humanity to be redeemed that didn't involve him being separated from God, that was his desire, yet not my will, but your will be done. These are all examples of lives that were blessed, each one of them living a life for the Lord. Some had money, some did not, but they were all blessed. Now, if your life here lacks fruit, I would encourage you to check your water source. Are you planted by a stream of water? Do you meditate on God's word? Are you in fellowship with other believers? Do you dwell and find purpose as part of the body of Christ? Have you submitted yourself to God's will? If not, when you look at your life and you don't see fruit happening, that's the cause. It's because you're not blessed, you're not dwelling with the Lord. And they say here, of those who do that, the wicked are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. And what they would do here is they would take the wheat and they could take the whole piece and do this in their hands with it, and they could toss it in the air, and that outer shell, the chaff, would break apart, and the wind would catch it and blow it away, and they can bend down and pick up that which was good. So as they say this here, the wicked are like the chaff that the wind blows away. They have no eternal value. They have no real purpose. There is no good in them. Those who are living apart from the Lord lack purpose. Their purpose is themselves, and the purpose of yourself is no purpose at all. We continue on here in Psalm 1, verses 5 and 6. It says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. When it says, therefore, what is it therefore? It's therefore because it says here, a man who is blessed does not follow the counsel of those who do not know God. He does not mimic their actions. He does not find his belonging in their midst. He is a man instead who is dedicated to the meditation upon God's word, to pondering the implications for his life. He is like a tree that is planted by water. He is bearing fruit. This is the one who is blessed of God. However, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. I want to be clear once again. You and I are able to stand in the judgment of the Lord not based on the actions that we have done. Not because of our character or who we are as people. That is not how we stand in the judgment of God. You and I can stand in God's judgment based solely on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are seen as righteous before him based on his sacrifice on the cross. We're redeemed by his blood through faith. We're judged based on his actions, not our own. As a result, you and I are blessed and live a life with him as our focus. The wicked here, we're told, cannot stand in the judgment because they are standing upon their own actions, and their own actions do not line up with the will of the Lord. Thus, they are deemed as not worthy. They're judged on their own actions. They cannot stand. Remember, standing here represents the actions of a person. They're judged on their own actions, and their own actions aren't enough. It says, likewise, that sinners will not, that nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. How is it possible for a sinner to find his belonging within the group of people whose belonging is found in God? Once again, they cannot join your fellowship if they do not believe what you believe. They're not able to stand with you at this time because they do not know who God is and have not proclaimed him as Lord. And next we have one of the most promising passages in all Scripture. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. For the Lord knows. As again, I started off by talking about this has been a difficult time in my life. It's been a time of loss, of sorrow, and grief. And it's beautiful to remember here that the Lord knows. The Lord knows what I'm going through. The Lord has allowed me to go into this in the hope that I can become a better believer in him, that I can place my trust more fully in him. That is the idea of a blessed life, the life of a believer who knows that they find their value and their worth in God. That's so promising. That the Lord, he knows you. He created you. He loved you. He saw you in your sinful state and sent his son to die for you. He has redeemed you and given you a hope and a purpose. The Lord knows you. And then probably one of the saddest parts of the entire Bible. But the way of the wicked shall perish. The wicked will perish. Their lives have no meaning. They have no eternal value. They cannot be blessed because they do not know God. And those who know God choose not to walk with him. That's all the wicked have to hope for. Now, we're going to be taking here in just a moment communion. Once again, I said that you and I can stand in the judgment not based on our own actions, but because of who Christ is. And the night that he was betrayed, the day before his death, he took very common elements. He took bread and he took wine. Things that were seen regularly at the table. And he said, as often as you eat of this and drink of this, I want you to do so in remembrance of me. Now, I would encourage you to take one of these. There should be in the baskets next to you. We're going to be taking communion here together. But before we take it, Paul also says to the church in Corinth, let a person examine themselves, then and so also eat and drink of the cup. Eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So there is a twofold aspect here. I want you to remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember your life before you met Jesus and the blessing that you have now that you know him as your Savior. And I would also encourage you, if there is unrepentant sin, something that you are struggling with, to take this time now to give it to the Lord, asking that God can give you the strength to overcome it. Please, take this time now in prayer, lifting up to God who he is and what he has done in your life. Would you please pray? Merciful Lord, I thank you once again for this day. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you created me, that you know me, that you love me, that you know each person who is here, Father. I thank you, Lord, that as we have gathered here together as part of this fellowship, as part of this body, that we can live life together. I thank you, Lord, for who you are and for what you have done in each and every person's life who is here today. And Father, we do repent and turn back to you. We recognize, Father, that we want to live a life of blessing, a life blessed by you, a life dedicated to your works that you have called for us to do. So, Father, as we are here this morning, we're about to remember what your Son did for us on the cross. Father, we thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you came and you died for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, as I said before, he took everyday elements, things that were part of every table, and the first being the bread. And he took that bread, and he said that this is my body, which is broken for you. Please take and eat. And in much the same way, the cup was on the table. He said, this cup represents my blood, which is spilled for you. Please take and drink. And Father, once again, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you, Father, that we can stand in the judgment because of what you have done for us. I pray, Lord, that we can live our lives by faith. Father, that we would have blessed lives, lives that are pointing to you, that you would allow us to know you better through studying, through the meditation of your word. That we would have believers around us giving us sage counsel. Father, that we would find belonging and purpose serving you. I ask, Lord, for those who are here this morning who may not know who you are, that you would reveal yourself to them, that they would know that you are a God of love, that you are a God who's creative, that you are a God who cares. I pray, Lord, that as we prepare to leave from here, that you would bless us to do so, that you would give us the work that you have called for us to do and give us the strength to complete them. Thank you, Father, once again for this time of worship, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please rise together as we conclude in song?
Your love has captured me. Your love has captured me. Your grace has set me free. Your love, the air I breathe. Be glorified in me. You said, Lord, you set my feet dancing. You set my heart on fire. The presence of a thousand kings. You won my one desire. Stand before you now with trembling hands lifted high. You said, Lord, you set my feet dancing. You set my heart on fire. The presence of a thousand kings, you are my one desire. I stand before you now with trembling hands lifted high. Be glorified. Be glorified.
Pray that as we leave from here, you would be glorified by our lives, and more may come and see your glory in us, Lord, and come to know you. I thank you, praise you, keep us safe as we leave from here. Bring us back again to worship you. In your name I pray. Amen. I hope you have a great week. Don't forget, our verse-by-verse service resumes, followed by, along with our family meals first, 5:15 p.m. We'll see you then. God bless.